Happy birthday, you thing from another world, you.
Catapult the propaganda.
Industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And my name is Sharon Gilbert, everybody. And my occupation is sign in, please. Oh, teller of secrets.
And what a day, what a day.
What a day. Happy birthday, honey.
Oh, thank you.
That's the biggest secret of all.
Yes, Sharon came in and sat in on my radio program this afternoon, which made it more than twice as good because the sum of the parts is greater than the... Some of the parts are great.
I don't know.
Well, whatever. But she brought a cake.
I brought a cake. You bet I did. It's your birthday. You had to have a cake. You know, today was a special day on your show, not just because I was there and it was your birthday, but you inaugurated a new Friday format.
Yeah, started doing a show. The show title is The Drive. And so Friday afternoons, we've just started a new thing. And Sharon came up with the title, Off-Road Friday. So we took the show in some different directions today, interviewed the director of the National UFO Reporting Center, which was really neat. Sharon got to participate in that talk.
Oh,
really
that was great. He was really, really informative, and he's cheesed.
Yes, yes. If you haven't heard, we'll just touch on this briefly. November 7th, which was Election Day, at 4:30 or thereabouts in the afternoon, a UFO was spotted over the C concourse at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago. Now, that's one of the busiest airports in America, if not the world. Second maybe only to Hartsfield in Atlanta. But that's a busy place. That is a hub for United Airlines. Mm-hmm. And about a dozen people have come out and said, yes, I saw this thing hanging over the C concourse, gate C-17, in fact.
Well,
exact.
The story didn't break until January of this year, so it had a long time sort of be washed and rinsed and spin, cycled and everything else. And this gentleman was there at the almost at the beginning, getting information, finding out exactly what was going on, and according to him today... And I think that podcast should be available online for you to listen to it. He tells a totally different story than is being spun out there now.
Yeah. Peter Davenport said that within a matter of, soon after this thing was spotted, he had people calling him with reports. He investigated the reports. They've checked them out. And after they apparently received some information through Freedom of Information Act requests with the FAA, which originally denied that anything had been reported. They say, oh, yeah, well, I guess we do have those radio records, transcripts.
All right.
United Airlines denied that anything happened until, again, they found out that there were actual radio contacts that had been transcribed and recorded. They're not investigating it. The FAA refuses to investigate.
Well,
that's what they say officially. But when he told the Chicago Tribune's transportation reporter about this, he fed the story to the Chicago Tribune, which reported it on New Year's Day. The Tribune has not attributed the source of the story. He's claiming basically that he broke the story, or at least isn't telling anyone any different. But then there are other details that have worked their way into the story, like MSNBC implying that perhaps a little alcohol was involved on the part of the witnesses, except that there were over a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this was at O'Hare Airport on a Tuesday afternoon, Election Day. And we're talking about aviation professionals here, guys who are pilots, co-pilots, ground crew, people who know what planes look like and act like. So interesting interview. And that is at the podcast at the radio station's website.
Oh, yeah. You definitely go and listen to it. Download it. Take a listen. So we had that. We got to talk about Momo, which is the Missouri Monster.
Yeah.
It's sort of a Sasquatch type of sighting. There have been a number of sightings. Apparently there was a song written about Momo.
Uh-huh.
So we got to talk about that today. We got to talk about some local ghost stories and people calling in. It was really, you know, I want to say the word fun, but I hesitate to say that. It was
intriguing.
Fun for me. It was intriguing. Yeah, that's a much better word because we don't take this lightly.
No.
We do look at this sort of activity as genuine. Yeah, I know that there are some people who simply just to get attention, they'll make something up. But the truth is out there, so to speak.
Right.
And we try to take a look at it from a spiritual Christian perspective.
Yeah, and we had the opportunity to talk about that on the air, to say, look, we understand that there is a supernatural world out there. Hey, Christians, if you truly believe in God, you by definition believe in the supernatural. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, by the way, if you hear any sound in the background, it is not your television set. It's not your device. It's nothing in the recording. It's our dishwasher.
Yeah.
We do live in a small apartment now. The bunker is no longer so far from the dishwasher that you can't hear it. And
it's our jamming device to prevent the guys in the white van outside from listening in.
Oh, yeah. And it works beautifully. Yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on. We apologize for that.
In the news today, a report from Wednesday night, a National Guard unit at a U.S. Border Patrol entry station on the Arizona-Mexico border was overrun by a number of gunmen that crossed the border from the Mexican side. No report, there were no injuries, at least among the guardsmen, but they were forced to retreat, to abandon their posts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that, you say, you may ask? And, well, you might.
I was certainly shocked when I first heard the story. Excuse me? That said, we ran away. Oh, no, we retreated. That's running away.
Yeah. Basically, their rules of engagement are not to engage. Those 6,000 National Guardsmen that our president deployed to the border with much fanfare last fall are there for show only. They are not carrying loaded weapons. They are not allowed to carry loaded weapons. And they are not allowed to fire when fired upon, apparently.
Now, if they worked for Blackwater, they'd have something.
Yeah, or, right, Whack and Hutt, those guys. This is outrageous.
It's outrageous. These guys who came through there, A, they could easily have just run mowed past them and come on in, and that's bad enough with drug runners, but what if they had been terrorists?
Right.
What if their intent had been to come in and go directly to some inner city area and blow up? And, I mean, this drives me crazy. There is no reason why we should allow that to happen. What is going on? What is the deal that Bush has struck with Vicente Fox that we're not going to do anything?
Yeah. The last time something like this started happening on a regular basis was back in the early part of the 20th century when Pancho Villa was raiding across the border. Columbus, New Mexico, I think, was the city that he hit and killed a few people. And we sent Blackjack Pershing down into Mexico for a year chasing after him. Never did catch him, by the way. I always thought the story was that he went in there and got him.
Well, here's the bad thing. I think that sort of legend is going to grow up again. The people down there, you know, the bad guys, so to speak, are going to take a look at this story. They're going to think, you know what? They're afraid.
Yeah, and I think you make an excellent point. It's not so much the Mexican drug runners, although that's bad enough, and the coyotes who are ferrying people into the country, that's bad enough. But the fact is that anyone who wants to get into the country, including Iranians, or any other agents of discord who want to work us harm, know that even if they encounter an American military unit on our side of the border, they're not going to meet armed resistance. That is insane. Now, on the way home tonight, I was listening to Michael Savage, and he was interviewing Bob Baer, who is the CIA agent, former CIA agent, on whom the character played by George Clooney in Syriana is based. And he said that if he were trying to do something nasty inside the United States, if he wanted to plot a terrorist op in the U.S., he said it would be so easy. He would, rather than trying to cross the border in Arizona, as these guys did, he would surf into San Diego with C4 strapped under his trunks. And he could plant it at a mall, you know, or at the harbor.
Well, that's just it. That's the one thing I've thought of many times.
Yeah.
We could have a steel fence from across that whole land border.
Right.
And the truth is, all you have to do is get in a little boat.
Get in a boat, sail, or surf, and you can get into the United States without too much trouble. Think about it. If you surfed out on the Mexican side of the border and went out far enough, and you were skilled enough that you could surf back in on the American side of the border, do we have guys checking for passports on the beaches of San Diego? I think not.
Oh, just pirate a nice-looking ship and sail it in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, look like you're just some yachter who's pulling into, you know, just get a drink.
Sure. And that is a way to avoid border security. But the point is, the guys that we've got on the border right now aren't there to stop anyone.
No.
They're only there to look like they're supposed to stop. We might as well have cardboard cutouts of National Guard troops.
Well, we might have. I don't know.
If I were a guardsman, I would be furious.
If I were their families, I'd be furious.
Yeah.
Not only is it making them frustrated and embarrassed, but it puts them in danger.
It does. And that is just unacceptable. That is unacceptable. And Republicans who voted for conservatives, who voted Republican the last couple administrations, last couple elections, hoping that we would clamp down on national security. And let's face it, that was, and we keep hearing that from the national pundits, we got to vote Republican because they're the ones who are going to keep us safe from the terrorists. Like this?
Well, you know, we've talked with Doug Hagman, mm-hmm. and he's convinced, along with Sean Osborne and some other really top-notch investigative people, they're convinced that things are happening. Things have been taking place. It's just being denied. It's like the story out of Chicago with the UFO.
Right.
Let's spin it in a way that makes it sound like we are still perfectly safe.
Right. That's true. The Manpad incident that happened last December in Los Angeles that nobody reported
on. There were a couple of Manpad incidents.
The Manpad incident outside Tinker Air Force Base. And although the missile wasn't fired, it appeared that there were guys mm-hmm. with a shoulder-fired launcher outside Oklahoma.
And little indicators. Like, remember the laser that was being shown in pilots' eyes there for a while?
Right, right. And people were saying, oh, well, this is, to try to blind the pilots.
It turned out to be supposedly some kid who had a little toy laser he'd gotten for Christmas or something. Yeah, right.
And Doug and Sean and the others at Northeast Intelligence Network pointed out, mm-hmm. no, this is how you triangulate and calculate how the angle you need in order to fire a shoulder-mounted rocket mm-hmm. and an incoming jetliner. They were taking measurements, basically.
Yes, they were. Yeah. They were. Oh, well, you know what? Speaking of things flying in the sky, the Global Hawk spy drone now has a death ray.
Ray that causes death? Let's call it a death ray. that is an interesting development.
It is, and that was, sort of in the news today, and then I saw it, and I thought, well, good for them, because I remember in Syriana, mm-hmm. the scene where the drone is over a convoy of, bad guys, let's just put it that way, and somebody that should have been taken out, who wasn't taken out.
Uh-huh.
It was Syriana, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or was it? Okay, yeah, when I thought for a second I was getting my films mixed up. But anyway, they were told that the drone was not armed. Therefore, they could not take this car out.
Okay.
They had one of the big leaders of Al-Qaeda or something in their sights, and they couldn't take him out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I saw that, and I thought, well, good, they're finally arming them. And then I thought, wait a minute, I remember reading stories where these things are actually active here in the United States, not just in the borders, but elsewhere. And sure enough, there was a story at Fox from last year where they were touting the fact that the drone flew across the United States.
Right. And in typical Fox fashion, they said, well, it's all good. They should be watching us just to make sure that we're safe. Okay. Yeah.
That network is driving me crazy.
The more we watch those guys, the less we appreciate what, the spin on mm-hmm. that state, on that network. Of course, the morning show there, they're just there for fluff and, sweetness and light and, ha-ha with your coffee. But the fact is that people do pay attention and are influenced by what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you weren't influenced by what we say, we wouldn't bother with this program. they were just, oh, this is all good. We should be surveilled constantly to make sure that we're safe. And to that end comes word that President Bush has used the mighty signing statement once again to give himself, apparently, the legal maneuvering room he needs to start scanning through your mail without a warrant. This is submitted by Camille, and we thank her for the tip on this particular story.
Yes, good tip. Those signing statements, the pen is mightier than the sword. All you have to do is sign something, and it goes into law. Why, if I didn't know better, I'd say he was King George.
It's, and conservatives, rightly, went ballistic when Bill Clinton used the executive order in a similar way during his administration. And I keep coming back to the quote by his advisor, Paul Begala, who said, stroke of the pen, law of the land. Mm-hmm. Kind of cool. Well, President Bush is doing the same thing, except with the signing statement. Mm-hmm. He signed a postal reform bill and added a statement that says that his administration will interpret this law to permit searches under certain circumstances, quote, to the maximum extent permissible, end quote. Now, what does that exactly mean, the maximum extent permissible? Considering that other statements, signing statements he's issued, essentially taken collectively mean that he thinks he can do anything as long as he can justify it under the broad umbrella of national security, mm-hmm. in air quotes, the ACLU has raised the alarm and said that this raises questions about whether the president intends to start searching mail without a warrant. We hate agreeing with the ACLU on anything, but we have to wonder, because this is a pattern during this administration of claiming the right, the authority, mm-hmm. to do this kind of search and surveillance without a warrant, if they can claim that it, after the fact, was justified by a national security concern.
Well,
it's basically saying all of you all, or anyone that we think is suspicious, needs to be proven innocent.
Yes. In fact, there was a, what was the show, the story that we were watching this afternoon, and they were talking about someone who had
a case. It's the case in Pennsylvania of the University of Pennsylvania economics professor.
Yes.
And his estranged wife
was
who was, yeah, right.
And he had until noon today or something like that to prove his innocence.
The district attorney there was essentially quoted, or at least this is the way MSNBC summarized the DA's position, that they were giving the professor until today to prove his innocence. Like, huh? How? Since when did American law work on that? Now, this may have been a sloppy editor.
It could have been. And,
in,
you know,
MSNBC.
The truth is, he may well be guilty. But that's not the way the law works.
No.
Here.
No, the DA giving a suspect today to prove his innocence before mm-hmm. being charged. Like, wait a minute. That's not how the American system of justice is supposed to work.
No. No, if he's got enough to bring him in, then bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
Charge him or shut up. And don't say the burden of proof is on you.
Yeah, it's not. That's not the way it works.
No. Well, you know, that kind of stuff keeps up, and who knows. Hosni Mubarak might just go nuclear.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the meeting between Olmert and Mubarak yesterday, didn't
mm-hmm.
we?
We did, just a little bit.
Well, Mubarak said something really interesting today.
He was Mubarking.
Yeah, and his Mubarak might be worse than his Mubite.
I hope that's the truth, because he's thinking about Mubiting if this keeps up, because there are countries around him that he says they seem to be nuclear.
Yeah, it's interesting the way the story was read. Now, the story at Watcher Magazine was taken from Ynet, which
exactly.
is an Israeli news source.
Which is slanted toward the Israeli side.
Yeah.
That's true.
And President Mubarak of Egypt said, "We don't want nuclear weapons, but since they appear highly present in the area, we must defend ourselves." Now, Ynet spun that to mean that this was a response to Iran's President Ahmadinejad wanting nuclear weapons.
That's not how I read it.
That's not how I read it either. I think what he's saying is that, look, Israel's got these weapons.
Mm-hmm. Because as we know, Olmert let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. Now, remember, Egypt does have a nuclear power program,
mm-hmm.
and it's been
an open secret.
Yeah, and Egypt's program to this point has been for energy purposes only, but mm-hmm. President Mubarak is kind of hinting that he may take it and develop weapons.
Mm-hmm. He's in a tough spot. He's in a tight spot.
He is.
He's got Israel that he has to keep relatively happy.
Right.
He has a very direct effect on what takes place there. I mean, for instance, you know, he got involved with the whole kidnapping of Shalit.
Gilad Shalit, yeah.
Exactly. But more than that, he's got to his south.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Yemen and all of the other Horn of Africa nations that are just boiling over
right
now. And within his own borders.
Uh-huh.
I think there are some who would like to see him go.
Well, the Muslim Brotherhood is gaining power in Egypt last December.
Yeah. He's in a very precarious position.
30% of the seats in their parliament went to the Muslim Brotherhood, which was a shock, you know, supposedly, to outside observers. But the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt is doing what Hamas, Hezbollah is doing in Lebanon. They're building schools and hospitals and stuff. And so people are saying, hey, we vote for you because you guys are taking care of us when the government isn't.
You know what I found out today? You and I watched a special earlier today on Sci-Fi about the making of Children of Men.
Yeah.
A very intriguing looking movie, and I can't wait to see it. I don't generally go to the theater because I personally think that's a ripoff. It's a waste of money. Something I can download for free at home if I just wait 6 months. This one, we may have to go see because it deals with the year 2027, and there's a very messianic theme going through it all. Women have become infertile. Mm-hmm. No more children have been born. The last child who was born has died at the age of 18. Exactly. Yeah. But I was reading some reviews and comments at IMDb, Internet Movie Database, and several of the people who have seen it, without trying to give too many spoilers, talk about how in the streets they keep hearing the shouts of Allahu Akbar.
Huh, interesting.
So, and one person said that, again, not to give too many spoilers, but apparently there's a great deal of racial tension as people realize they have may well have entered the final generation of man.
Mm-hmm.
Things start to really, the undercurrent that we see going on now all comes boiling up to the top. And Britain is for British only. It's the thing that so many people here in the United States would love for us to do. How about if it's for U.S. citizens only? You can't come in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Britain at that point is not allowing anybody in. If you're not British, you come, you get put into a detention camp.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, at least that's what I gathered from it. Now, if you've seen the movie and you want to send me, spoilers, I don't mind them. I don't generally go to a movie. I rarely go to a movie to try to solve some sort of twisted, you know, mystery plot. I look for other things, the hidden stuff, the stuff between the stills, so to take.
Yeah.
Rather than between the
lines.
The
imagery and the message that's being put out there by the film. Yeah. Well, it does look compelling, and it looks to be extremely well done. It's got a great cast. Michael Caine is worth watching no matter what he does. Even in bad movies, Michael Caine is worth watching.
Sometimes he's better in bad movies.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there because they're talking about, again, the racial tension as we head toward what may be the end of mankind in that movie. And you and I have said many times, we believe we're in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
We may be the last generation.
Novus Ordo Seclorum.
Oh, what a woman.
Yeah. Speaking of which, and this is just, no real deep thing here, just a little tidbit. We've been promised the most open and honest and ethical Congress ever. And to that end, they've passed some rules, which apparently put limits on lobbyists and what they can do for Congress people.
Mm-hmm.
But the head of C-SPAN, the guy who operates that network, which broadcasts a lot of what takes place inside the House of Representatives, sent a request to Nancy Pelosi asking whether she would relax the strict rules that have been placed on the cameras of C-SPAN by Speaker Hastert, dating to 1995. When you see video of what's happening in the House of Representatives, it's always a tight shot on who's ever at the podium. And occasionally you'll see, the speaker at the, at the rostrum or whatever it's called. But you don't ever see the cameras pull back and show the rest of the House. It's because oftentimes there's no one there.
Exactly.
Or there are people there and they're, reading a newspaper.
Yeah, they're totally not listening.
Yes. And so the director, head of C-SPAN asked whether they could relax those rules. I mean, if this is truly going to be the most open, honest, and hardworking 5 days a week now instead of the 3-day work week that they had under Dennis Hastert.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the taskmaster. Speaker Pelosi said, no way. Only tight shots of the speaker at the podium. That's it. You either get a tight shot of the person speaking on the floor or the presiding officer in the chair. That's all. You cannot see what's going on in the rest of the Congress.
Oh.
And frankly, I'm not surprised, but it's not being reported. And we thought you should know.
What a lovely world. You know what? It's a kinder, gentler kind of Congress. You get to see kids. And I was watching MSNBC yesterday, and they were talking about her outfit and her hair. And did she comb her own hair? And I thought, what are you talking about?
Talk about
her brain. Did she wash it before she came in?
The anchor on MSNBC, who was a woman, I don't know her name, and the reporter was another woman, and they were just sitting there, they were gushing about how much fun it is to have a Speaker of the House who's talking about clothes and hair and shoes. Like what, Dennis Hastert didn't talk about those things?
Oh, well, he did.
Not publicly.
No, that's a creepy thought.
It was kind of silly. It really was kind of silly. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does all this have to do with her ability to do the job?
Nothing
and
at all.
She may be a good speaker. We don't know. We don't know. But frankly, we are not inclined to be blown away by anyone in that position, regardless of party, Democrat or Republican. I will say this. It's encouraging to see at least what appear to be overtures toward clamping down on the influence of lobbyists. But, you know, come on, I'm a realist. There's too much money at stake for the lobbyists to just dry up and blow away. There's just too much at stake for them to lose their influence. They will find a way to get money into the pockets of the people they need to influence one way or the other.
Oh, sure they will. Sure they will. They'll just call it something else.
Yeah.
This is an educational fund.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll make a donation. They'll work out some twisted, convoluted way of making sure the money gets where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You know, speaking of lobbyists, what's going on with our old buddy Jack? Abramoff. Do you think they let him wear that hat all the time?
Oh, the Michael Corleone hat or the baseball cap?
Neither one.
I don't know.
I'm convinced he's bald underneath there.
Well, it's end of this first 4-day week back at of 2007, the full 5-day week next week. It's I think more than we can bear.
At least we're not in Congress.
Yeah, at least we're not in Congress.
Oh, good heavens! But you know what? I think 2007 is going to be filled with many interesting twists and turns, and my fear is that there are going to be twists and turns that take away more and more of our freedoms.
I agree. And what is really distressing is seeing how many people who profess to be conservative, traditionally conservatives were the party of smaller government and more personal liberties. And now people, it's no longer about less government versus more government. It's about more government and less abortions versus more government and more abortions.
That seems
to be about what it's boiled down to.
That is true.
And the people like us in the middle are looked at as kooks and cranks and wackos by everyone else.
Why is that?
Suddenly, if you're on
the fringe, you're okay, but if you're in the middle, you're a... What?
Yeah, incidentally, I'm going to have an interview with Jerome Corsi next week. We're going to cover that topic.
Oh, good.
Because Michael Medved, who's supposedly a conservative, basically called him a liar, a drunk, a cheat, and a jughead. He used the word jughead.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, and lumped him together with Lou Dobbs and Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis Schlafly for being internet conspiracy theory mongering wackos. Like Medved has gone off his meds or something.
Well, he's got backers.
So yeah, exactly.
He's got people that give him talking.
He's what passes for a conservative in 2007.
You know, I used to like him too.
Me too.
Oh, what's really sad is once you open your eyes, folks, you can't go back.
No,
you cannot. Once you've taken that red pill,
that's right.
You can't untake it.
Well. Until, Sunday, when we have Peter Goodgame talking about the history of Kabbalah and tying it to the Divine Council, the spiritual war. That will be a great hour.
We're going to be talking with him tomorrow afternoon. That show will be up on Sunday evening. I'm so looking forward to that. But for now, we've run out of time.
You can join us at the forum, peeringintodarkness.com/forum, or email radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
I think that'll do it.
I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Have a great weekend, everybody, and happy birthday. Bye-bye, everybody.
WID Radio.